Good morning, everyone, and welcome to ECL's first quarter report conference call. If you need a copy of the press release issued yesterday, it's available on the company website. Before we begin, I would like to remind you that this call is being recorded and that information discussed today may include forward-looking statements regarding the company's financial and operating performance. All projections are subject to risks and uncertainties, and actual results may differ materially. I will now turn the call over to Mr. Lars Barstad. Please go ahead, sir.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. I apologize for the late start, but we had some technical problems. My name is Lars Barstad. I'm the CEO of ECL, and with me are Marco Tassoni, our CFO, Bernardita Infante, Deputy CFO, and Marcela Muñoz, our Investor Relations Officer. We shall now begin our quarterly investor conference call to discuss ECL's results for the first quarter of 2012. So first, we'll go over some industry highlights. During the first quarter, average monthly marginal cost showed a declining trend, mainly due to the entry into commercial operation of new efficient coal projects, which include our CTA and CTH projects, with combined gross capacity of 337 megawatts, and Angamos 1 and 2, with combined capacity of over 520 megawatts. During the first quarter, marginal energy costs averaged $76.4 per megawatt hour, and this represents a 27% drop from the same quarter the year before. During the first quarter of 2012, coal generation increased 56% compared to the first quarter of 2011 and accounted for 86% of electricity generation in the state. AES Gener's gas plant in Salta did not deliver electricity to the SING during the quarter, while electricity generation with LNG fell 42% due to the overhaul of our combined cycle Unit 16 and the end of the Escondida LNG arrangement with Gas Atacama in January. Therefore, LNG-based generation represented only 12% of the system generation, while diesel and fuel oil generation accounted for just 2%. Demand in the SING increased by 10% compared to the same quarter in 2011, mainly due to the new demand from the greenfield mining project Minera Esperanza and the resolution of operational problems at the Gabi mine, among others. However, Minera Esperanza's demand did not achieve the expected ramp-up in its production levels. This, coupled with climatic factors and a normal deceleration in mining production in the first month of each year, caused a 2% demand reduction compared to the last quarter of last year. ECL's electricity generation, considering 100% of CTH production, increased by 16% from the past quarter and by 29% when compared with the first quarter of 2011, mainly due to the start of commercial operations of CTA and CTH. These plants and all our coal-fired plants were fully available for dispatch during the first quarter, offsetting the production drop at our combined cycle gas plant Unit 16 due to the major overhaul. All in all, in the first quarter, our generation accounted for 55% of the SING's total generation, up from 47% in the previous quarter. According to CEDIC statistics, we can see that AES Gener's subsidiary advanced from 30% of total generation in the first quarter of last year to 36% in the fourth quarter, basically due to the contribution of the new Angamos units. In the first quarter of this year, AES Gener's stake was 33%, as the additional contribution from Angamos was in part offset by the lack of electricity supply to the SING from the Termo Andes gas plant physically located in Argentina. Endesa's Celta and Gas Atacama taken together fell from a 23% share in the first quarter of the last year to 12% in the first quarter of this year, largely due to the early termination of the LNG supply arrangement with Escondida. As explained in our previous conference call, four large mining companies agreed to buy LNG from the LNG terminal in Mejillones at a price equivalent to diesel prices and to sell it to ECL and Yatata Gama for its conversion into electricity. Under this tolling agreement, ECL and Yatata Gama have been able to run their combined cycles with LNG since May 2010, for up to an aggregate of approximately 450 megawatts. This agreement with the mining companies matures in September 2012, but Escondida, one of the four mining companies, opted for the early termination of the contract at the end of January of this year. Before discussing the results, I would like to go briefly over the relevant events that took place during the first quarter. ECL's share returned to the IPSA, which is the selected share price index in Chile, beginning January 2, 2012. The annual ordinary shareholders meeting held on April 24, 2012, approved a dividend payment on account of 2011's net income in the amount of 61.0468 cents per share, to be paid on May 16, 2012. The total amount to be paid on such date is $64.3 million. On January the 1st, the power supply contract with Enel became effective. Enel is the only distribution group in the SING which serves regulated clients, including residential and commercial consumers. This contract tariff is indexed to Henry Hub and the U.S. Consumer Price Index, CPI. I will now comment on our first quarter results compared to the same quarter of the year before. In the first quarter, net income after taxes reached $40.1 million, or 38 cents per share. This represented an 18% increase compared to the first quarter of 2011. The decrease, when compared to the fourth quarter of 2011, is mainly explained by non-recurring earnings reported in 2011, primarily related to liquidated damages paid by the EPC contractor for the construction delays at the CTA and CTH projects. Net income increased by $6 million compared to the first quarter of 2011, mainly due to the following positive and negative factors. On the positive side, we can mention a $4.9 million EBITDA increase, a $11.7 million advance in foreign exchange earnings, as we reported a $5.8 million foreign exchange profit in the first quarter of this year, representing a turnaround from a $45.9 million loss in the first quarter of last year. And finally, a $3.9 million drop in the income tax provision resulting from a reduction in the tax rate from 20% to 18.5% and a deferred tax adjustment. On the other hand, factors stressing net income were a $6.6 million increase in depreciation resulting from the startup of CTA and CTH, and a $7.8 million increase in interest expense because the interest expense on the CTA project finance ceased to be capitalized. In relation with the operating results, we can comment the following. Sales of energy and capacity dropped by 3% to $273 million. This was the result of an increase in physical sales combined with a reduction in tariffs. Physical sales rose 25% due to the startup of the Enel contract and higher sales to the spot market. This increase offset a 4% drop in physical sales to unregulated clients, explained by the end of the Minera Spence contract in July 2011, and a temporary decline in demand in February due to the effects of the Bolivian winter. Average monomic tariffs fell 22.6% for the following reasons. PPAs with tariffs linked to coal generation became effective during 2011 as CTA and CTH became commercially operational. The Minera Spence PPA, which had tariffs linked to a more expensive fuel mix, ended in July 2011. The Enel PPA presented lower tariffs due to the low Henry Hub prices, and the marginal energy costs in the SING at which spot sales are priced fell due to the lower cost fuel mix used in generation. Tariff costs also declined in line with the decreases in revenues. Our gross electricity generation increased by 26% due to the startup of CTA and CTH, which offset the 2-month outage for the overall of Unit 16. Despite our increased electricity generation and the continued increase in oil prices to which LNG and diesel prices are linked, our fuel costs fell 18% due to the greater proportion of coal used in our fuel mix. Coal prices were relatively stable during the period. Spot energy purchases increased, given the need to supply the larger demand, basically coming from the new EMEL contract. However, given the lower marginal costs in the system, the cost of spot energy purchases fell 13%. Our gross electricity margin, calculated as revenues from electricity sales minus fuel costs and spot energy purchases, increased by 17% to $134.3 million. The electricity margin expressed as a percentage of electricity revenue reached 49%, the highest figure reported since the first quarter of 2011. Lower tariff costs were in part offset by an increase in other operating costs, which includes, among others, transmission tolls related to the EMEL contract and operating and maintaining costs of CTA and CTH that were previously capitalized. SG&A expenses also increased, mainly due to an increase in headcount and salaries, costs related to consultants and advisors, and the effect of the appreciation of the Chilean peso on those costs that are predominantly denominated in pesos. As a result of increased electricity margin, combined with the increase in other operating costs and SG&A expenses, EBITDA reached $84.1 million, a 6% increase compared to the same period of last year. We will now comment the balance sheet. ECL has total assets of $2.9 billion, with net fixed assets amounting to $1.8 billion. Capital expenditures amounted to $27 million during the quarter, basically due to the Unit 16 overhaul, in line with depreciation, which amounted to $27.5 million. During the first quarter, cash balances increased by $40 million to approximately $233 million, mainly due to our strong operating cash flow coupled with neutral investing activity and financing cash flows. Accounts receivable increased by $56 million to $245 million due to the new clients. Intangible assets amounted to $311 million and correspond to the valuation of the CTA and CTH PPAs, which are being amortized over a 30-year period. Our financial debt is composed of the $400 million 144A bond with maturity in 2021 and the CTA project finance, which has an outstanding balance of $283 million and has final maturity in 2025. Equity increased by $31 million to $1.7 billion. This increase was explained by the $40 million net income plus a $2.7 million reduction in the negative mark-to-market of the interest rate swaps associated to the CTA project finance, minus a $12 million provision corresponding to the 30% regulatory dividend payment. This amount was deducted from net worth and added to the accounts payable item on the short-term liabilities. The last 12-month EBITDA was approximately $373 million. Considering gross financial debt of almost $700 million, we have a gross debt to EBITDA ratio of 1.9 times. Finally, we would like to give you some guidance of our perception of our business outlook. While we foresee an encouraging future for our business, given the number of mining projects in the pipeline, ensuring strong demand for electricity in the coming years, we are facing some challenges in the short run that might affect our 2012 results. As you are aware, our business is subject to the risk of variations in the availability of fuels and their prices. Our policy is to hedge as much as possible against these risks through the indexation of the energy tariff incorporated in our PPAs and the fuel mix taken in consideration in the tariffs. The tariff of the EMEL contract, which became effective at the beginning of 2012, is readjusted semi-annually according to the Henry Hub Index and the US CPI. The company has signed a long-term LNG purchase contract at Henry Hub prices to supply this EMEL PPA, but however, this contract does not come into effect until the fourth quarter of 2012. During the first 9 months of 2012, until the LNG purchase contract begins, our company will be temporarily exposed to the risk of mismatch between Henry Hub and the fuel price or system marginal cost fluctuations. Due to lower marginal cost in the first quarter of 2012, this mismatch had no material impact on the results in this period. Other PPAs include a tariff adjustment capturing the new fuel mix used in generation with a greater weight on coal. Therefore, the decline in average realized monomic tariffs observed in the first quarter is expected to continue through 2012. As long as conditions in the SING and the SIG power grids so permit it, we have begun to sell LNG to Endesa for electricity production out of the central in Taltal. In this way, we are contributing to alleviate the tight power supply conditions currently existing in the SIG as a result of the drought and thermal plant outages. In December 2010, we signed an agreement with YPF by which YPF committed to pay us 28 million compensation for past interruptions in gas deliveries. YPF still owes us 16.5 million under this agreement. Given the restrictions in Argentina to make dollar payments abroad and the recent expropriation of YPF by the Argentine government, we cannot assure the full recovery of the YPF receivable, despite YPF's reiterated assurance of its intention to repay the amount. Our plan includes new investments to meet increased power demand in the north of Chile. We are working in our Infraestructura Energética Mejillones project, consisting of up to two coal-fired power plants, each with gross capacity of 375 megawatts, including a new port facility. We are currently participating in conversations and bidding processes with potential off-takers. The closing of PPAs is the key item that will trigger the decision to build one or two of these units. At the same time, we are working on the capital structure of this project and the selection of the key parties, such as the EPC contractor and potential financial providers. Last year, we communicated our intention of analyzing the purchase of Eolica Monteredonde from GDS Suez. Eolica Monteredondo owns a wind farm and a hydro plant under construction in the SIG. We have decided to postpone this decision at least until the hydro plant project is completed. This acquisition would allow ECL to enter into the SIG and to benefit from ERMC certificates. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the end of our presentation. We thank you very much for your attention, and we are open to any questions you may have.
Thank you. At this time, if you would like to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. Again, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad to ask a question. Your first question comes from the line of Christian Jadu with Sam Putter.
Hi, good morning. One question about the fixing interconnector system. Is there any possibility or you see any chances of getting some contracts on your Mejillones power plant on some mine company in a third region if this transmission line is complete and approved by the government?
Yes. Sorry, can I have your name, please?
Cristian Javier from Santander.
Yes, thank you. Well, the issue of the interconnection 16, first of all, is at this moment being developed by GDS Suez, yeah. But I would not think that it would be in our strategy to do this project by ourselves, as our core business is generation. So the question then, if we could use this line to sell energy in the north of the SIC, yes, of course, we could. As long as we have available capacity, we could offer this to potential clients in the north of the city. Yeah? We have not been doing this now up till now because we are not sure yet whether the 16 is going to be built. But once we have security about this, we will definitely start talking to clients in the north of the city. I also to mention at the same time that the demand of the mining clients in the SING is such that also only taking into account the demand for energy from the SING side would probably already take a large part of our available capacity if we can contract PPAs with these clients in the north.
Perfect. And one more question, Lord, about the assets of that Suez has also have also in the SIC, for example, Monterrey Hondo and a small hydro plant. Is there a possibility or you're analyzing on buying those assets?
Yes, I mentioned this before in the text. So we will probably want to buy these because it's definitely the intention of GDS Suez, as far as they have told us, to use ECL as the main vehicle of energy investment in Chile. So as these plants are already under construction, we will probably buy them once they are in operation, because at this moment there is a lot of uncertainty about the exact commercial operation, especially of the hydro plants. So we will not do the acquisition before the hydro plant is in commercial operation, which is supposed to be somewhere at the second part of this year.
Perfect. Thanks.
Thank you. Your next question is from the line of Enough or Tokar with Santander.
I'm Adolfo Ortuzar from Santander EGM. As you mentioned, you are working on the construction of the coal plant Mejillones. I want to know in which stage of the project are you, and in that sense, win the non-regulated contract with the Sierra Gorda mine, is it still a possibility? Thank you.
Well, so this is a project under development. We have not started construction yet. In this stage, we have advanced negotiations with the EPC contractors, so we have firm commitments from EPC contractors to do this construction. And at this moment, we are working on the structuring of the equity and the financing of this project. And at the same time, we are having commercial negotiations with several of the mining companies in the north, which have projects which will come online between the years 2015 and 2018. Yeah. So our idea is that we will continue with the structuring of the equity and financing. And as soon as we can finalize a negotiation for a PPA with one of these bigger mining projects, we will give the notice to proceed and to start the construction of this plant.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Your next question is from the line of Ezequiel Fernandez with Patia Bank.
Hi, good morning. Congratulations on the ML contract start. I would like to ask you two questions. One, I have the impression that despite the better generation mix, the fuel costs on the P&L could look a bit low, given the volumes and the purchase prices informed to the CDEC. I would like to know if you could comment a bit on preferential dollar generation costs per megawatt on coal and gas. And the second question is related to Sierra Gorda. I was wondering if the acquisition of Cuadra is going to delay the energy auction a bit.
So first of all, on the fuel cost, so depending on the efficiency of the coal plant, our cost to produce energy with coal varies between $50 and $70 US dollars per megawatt hour, more or less. Taking in account that international coal prices are between $100 and $110 per ton. As for the LNG production, so the gas price or the price of the LNG that we use depends very much on the contract, and in certain cases we are declaring zero cost for the LNG when it is in take or pay contract. The efficiency of our combined cycles varies between 7 and 7.5, I would say. So to have a cost in for the megawatt hour based on LNG, you have to multiply the cost of the LNG in dollars per million BTU times between 7 and 7.5. So as an example, if the LNG cost is $10 per megawatt hour, then we would have, $10 per million BTU, then we would have a cost of the megawatt hour produced by LNG between $70 and $75 per megawatt hour. Now, part of the LNG we're also buying at the cost of the diesel price minus 30. So this would mean somewhere between $17 and $18 per million BTU. And so the power produced by this LNG would be around 7 to 7.5 times 17. Then on the second part, the question about the Sierra Gorda project. As far as I understand, the partial sale of the Quadra company to this Polish company is only accelerating, I think, the project in Sierra Gorda. And we are, as far as we see, the project is advancing well, and we already have signed one contract with them to deliver them energy in the years in the year 2013, so end 2012 until end 2013, which is a bridge contract for part of their for a smaller demand that they have to in preparation of the mine.
Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Again, to ask a question, please press star, then the number one on your telephone keypad. There are no questions at this time.
Okay, thank you very much, everybody, for your attention. We will now terminate the conference.
Thank you. This concludes today's conference call. You may now disconnect. 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 You may now disconnect.